Welcome to the Friends Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for FriendsFantasyBenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Ready to talk about this fun system right here, so this will be a good one.
This is probably the system to talk about. It's the system that most people are going to be talking about because it's got a lot of 2019 impact. We'll get into a lot more of the redraft values of the top guy at some point, but we're going to focus mostly on the real prospects, the guys who are going to be either coming up later in the season or won't be coming up at all this year. And of course, we're talking about the Toronto Blue Jays, who have Vlad Jr., who's been kind of the toast of the town. But before we jump into that, I remind everybody to reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. So why don't you go ahead and just start. Talk about how great this Blue Jay system is.
Yeah, it's obviously the top guy at the top is the consensus number one guy. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has upside of Pujols, Miggy, like Frank Thomas, kind of right-handed hitter presence and upside that we haven't seen. And he's a four-category stud. He's not going to steal any bags. Sorry to disappoint you. So when you get future chat questions of why won't he steal any bases, that's not going to happen. But the bat speed here is what sticks out when you watch him in person. The build, he's got a big ass. Stuff like you could see it just generates power, generates a plus hit tool, a double plus hit tool. And, you know, he's well worth an investment in the top 50 picks this year, in my opinion. Bo Bichette is your second guy. And 286, 343, 453, 11 homers, 32 stolen bases, 8% walk rate, 17% strikeout rate. Bichette might have a quicker bat than Vlad, bat speed-wise. I saw both of those two guys play in the same lineup when they came through the Midwest League. Very fun experience, and they both were outstanding. Neither of them produced that well for me when I saw them. I think they each had one hit in the couple games I saw, but you know, the talent's there. You don't need to see that to know. Bo Bichette's fantasy ceiling is an interesting one. I think a lot of people are projecting him for 30 stolen bases at the big league level. I don't see that. I maybe see, like, I could see him. I think he's more likely to hit 30 homers than he is to steal 30 bags. That's where I'm at with Bo. I think the bat speed and stuff is there. Everything that you want. A lot of power, emerging power. And I wouldn't be surprised if he flipped the stolen bases and the home run total, and that's his, like, peak kind of thing here. He kind of struggled when he didn't have Vlad in the lineup. When he was in Double A, I don't think that's anything to worry about. I think that's just a coincidence. But he can find – sometimes he can fall in love with hitting the long ball, which isn't really his game. He's a gap-to-gap line drive pure hitter that just happens to hit some home runs because of how good of a hitter he is. That's Bo Bichette. He's an exciting guy, and I think he could stick at shortstop, which is not something that has been said about him before. I think he's better than advertised at that position. Ultimately, he might be a second baseman just because he's not an elite shortstop, so he could find his way at second base sometimes, but he's gonna hit no matter where he plays. So he's an exciting guy. Danny Jansen was a fun guy for this year for redraft as well. He's a catcher I'm trying to target this year. I know Russell Martin is there. I don't think Russell Martin will be there all season. I think Jansen's the guy here in Toronto. Really good contact skills. You're looking at a guy with a 17.9% K rate in his major league sample, 13.6 in AAA last year. I mean, bat the ball, really good eye, should be a high OBP guy. 9.5% walk rate at the big league level, 12% in AAA. Doesn't flash like plus power in the minors, but he's got some size, some present strength, and his approach, line drive approach, hits the ball everywhere. I think he's got future seasons coming where he's going to hit 20, 25 homers. Right now, I think if he gets enough playing time, I think he's a 15-homer high OBP guy. But I think at peak, he's 20 to 25 with really good defense. And I think he's a franchise catcher, and you don't see that very often. So anymore, anyway. So I think, because now everybody's going with the tandem kind of thing, I think Jansen's a standalone franchise catcher, and that's one worth owning in franchise, in dynasty leagues and redraft leagues. Nate Pearson. I'll talk about him next. Everyone knows about the – he's kind of popping up now because of the Fall League. His 93-mile-an-hour changeup, I think, and like 104-mile-an-hour fastball. We have our own scout, JP, was in the stands behind home plate, and he can confirm that his gun had those readings and everyone else's gun around them also had the same readings. So this man can throw. He's got some arm strength. He missed he made one start this year, and he got hit by a comebacker in the second inning, and that knocked him out for the season. Came back in the Fall League, and velocity and stuff appeared to be back in short stints. Big, large frame, long arms, long legs, all the makings of a top-of-the-rotation guy. Not saying he gets there. You know, there's a lot of things that could stand in the way of that. Heavy strikeout guy, really – everything's in his corner, though. Good, strong build, durable guy from what he looks like. I think the injury he had this year is a freak thing. But I love Pearson. There's a sequence of one of his first start this year. Our own Jason Waddell was in the stands in the May 8th game. Here's a sequence to a left-handed hitter on the Bradenton roster. 89-mile-an-hour changeup, 90-mile-an-hour changeup, 97 on the fastball, 97, 96, 95 to put him away. Like, that's crazy stuff. That's crazy stuff to be in to be in high A, and that's where he was. Eric Pardino, a nice aggressive teenage pitching prospect for the Blue Jays, 17 years old. He'll be 18 on opening day. 5'10" with a mid-90s heater and a 60-grade curveball. Eric Pardino was a 14-year-old. Maybe he might have been 15 when he was pitching for Team Brazil in the WBC, which is insane to think about. But he's a plus athlete with really good mechanics. He's going to get stronger, and he might add some velocity. I think Pardino's a – while the upside isn't sky high, I think he's a pretty damn safe bet to be a mid-rotation arm for the Blue Jays, and that's something to get excited about. Kevin Smith, 2017 fourth-rounder, dominated the Midwest League, hit extremely well in the Florida State League, 302, 358, 528. 25 homers, 29 stolen bases, 7% walk rate, 21% K rate as a shortstop. I think he might be the most underrated prospect, if not in all of baseball. Definitely this farm system for sure. Maybe even more than that. He's not as good as the numbers showed, obviously, but he's got good hands, good bat speed that correlate to, you know, good strong offensive numbers. I don't think the average is going to be there, cause like comparable to like Bo Bichette or anything like that. But I do think Kevin Smith can put up above average numbers. If he could stick a shortstop, he might have to move to third base for his long-term future, which would hurt his overall production because I don't know how well the power is going to translate. It's going to be interesting seeing him in Double-A this year when he's playing in like New Hampshire and stuff in the cold weather to start the year and see how he does. He's a guy to track for sure. If you know somebody in your league that is a stat line whore, I would dump Kevin Smith on them if you could now. Not to say that he wouldn't be solid, but I don't know if his value will ever be higher than it is now. Jordan Groshans is one of my favorite entries from this 2018 draft, and he comes in next for me. Good slender build, athletic guy. He's at shortstop now. He's going to add 15 to 20 pounds of straight muscle to the frame, and he's not going to lose a step, and he's probably going to move to third. The bat speed is extremely plus, is double plus in my opinion. Uses all fields. Could be long, but the swing's quick enough to make up for it. Really nice leg kick that he keeps everything in line. Good throwing arm. I think Groshans is like a very underrated guy in these first year player drafts, and you could probably even get him at the end of first round the way things are going right now. I prefer Groshans to somebody like Nick Madrigal, or I know other guys don't see the same as me in that regard, but I think the upside here is too much to pass up. Toronto does extremely well with bats, so he's a good fit here. Kevon Biggio, primarily a second baseman, started to play a little bit more outfield. I think he's ultimately on the career path of like a Marwin Gonzalez. The thing with Biggio is a 252, 388, 499 hitter with 26 homers, 20 stolen bases in Double-A. 17.8% walk rate, 26% K rate. So he's a high OBP, more OBP than batting average, kind of a super utility option. Left-handed swing, three true outcomes is definitely the thing here. gets a lot of loft, hunts fastballs. I'm a big fan of Biggio. And the Blue Jays love their Major League bloodlines, and that's obviously present here. Anthony Alford is kind of a zombie prospect for me at this point, meaning that he's kind of in limbo. I think he's a fourth outfielder. If he gets that healthy, which he hasn't been able to do lately, you know, it's hard to bet on the athlete. Or it's easy to bet on the athlete. You always want to bet on the athlete. But when you look at Alford, I just don't think the hit tool is strong enough to carry the tools. I think he can get to the majors alone on his power and defensive abilities. I think there's more power than he's shown. And he's a guy who could figure it out and be a late bloomer. But I'm not banking on anything for 2019 out of him. Sean Reed Foley couldn't factor in the Blue Jays rotation. They have Matt Shoemaker now, who might have took his spot. Ryan Barucki, he's going to battle with him for that spot. It's Clayton Richards in that mix. No reason why Sean Reed Foley shouldn't be starting at least in the second half this year for the Blue Jays. Number four starter ceiling for me with strikeouts, but the command is a little bit shaky for the American League East. David Paulino, former Tiger prospect, former Astros prospect that I was kind of smitten with when he was coming up. Lost a lot of development time, and then he had the PED suspension. Fastball in the low 90s with the curveball, slider, changeup. He's got enough to start here. Probably a back-end guy at this point because of the health issues, lost development time. Rowdy Tellez, very nice Major League debut. Better than his AAA numbers, actually. His strong walk rates and power. There's a little bit of Dan Vogelbach vibe here, which isn't good for a multitude of reasons. The body's concerning. The defensive abilities are scarce, if not at all. And he's blocked right now by Justin Smoke and Kendrys Morales. Smoke is a piece in Toronto probably for the next few years. Kendrys Morales is a guy they could get rid of any day now, I guess. But the market for a DH like that is low. And I think Rowdy Tellez can be a 260 hitter with 25 home runs in the first base DH role for the Blue Jays if given the opportunity. Or Elvis Martinez, shifting gears, is a J2 guy, signed for $3.5 million, one of the biggest bonuses in the class. Got a lot of projection in the frame. Probably a third baseman. He's a shortstop now, but the ball just jumps off his bat. Really good athlete. He's athletic actions. He's a really nice guy to watch. Hector Perez is a back-end starter, probably a reliever. Fastball, slider, splitter, give him a high-octane package, and he also has a curveball. Struggles with command, over five walks per nine. It's electric stuff. I think that's what gets away from him is so much movement on a lot of his pitches, and a lot of his pitches aren't designed to be strikes. The splitter and the slider aren't designed to stray in the zone the way they move with him. And when you fall behind in the count, it's hard to throw those pitches in the proper count. So you don't really know what the whole package is with Perez until he can get that fastball command straightened out, if he ever does. Another legacy kid here, Griffin Conine, obviously has the PED suspension. That's a cloud in his future here. He's a left field first baseman kind of bat. 55 game power. I don't know where the hit tool stands. That's what's going to make or break him, and the lost development time for the second rounder in 2018 is going to hurt. Strong kid, athletic kid out of Duke. He hits a lot of fly balls, and that's the goal. He obviously is in tune with what front offices are looking for. That's his intention when he comes up to the plate. Unfortunately, though, like I said, he's going to have to sit down for half a season, so hopefully he's able to come back from that. TJ Zoik is a guy that I really, really like. I don't think the upside's all that high, but I've been tracking him since college. Good ground ball guy. Slider and a changeup. I think he's a back-end rotation guy, but big frame. I like TJ Zoik. Trent Thornton, they picked up from the Astros this year for Aledmys Diaz at the 40-man roster kind of crunch. Five-pitch mix, 91-95 on the fastball. Throws a cutter, a split change, a curveball, and a slider. He's in the Arizona Fall League, and he worked out of the pen. And he kind of, the stuff played up a little bit, and I could see that being his ultimate home as a multi-inning reliever, which is easier to do in those American League parks. So I think Trent Thornton is a guy that can fit that role. He might be a guy to look for this year because he definitely will make his debut. Thomas Pannon will be up this year. Bad fastball. Former Indians prospect. Fourth or fifth starter if he maxes out. Billy McKinney. Former Cub. Former Oakland A. Former Cub. Former Yankee prospect. He's already on his fourth club. really good hit tool here and a really good plate skills. He strikes out a little bit too much for a guy that doesn't hit for a ton of power, but I think there's 15 homer pop here if he gets enough playing time. And I think Toronto is in a situation. I think they're going to have Grichuk on one corner with Kevin Pillar, and I think it's going to be Billy McKinney and Teoscar Hernandez kind of platoon in the other outfield corner. And I think that's going to be a productive one. Should be strong defensively. And McKinney is a guy people are sleeping on a little bit because I think the hit tool is better than what is advertised. He's got a little bit of sneaky pop here too. He's got a track. And Elvis Luciano is a guy that I wrote up for the Royal system for Prospects Live, but the Blue Jays surprisingly took him in the Rule 5 draft this year. Despite him only being 18, he's going to be 19 on opening day. And a little fun fact here, if the Blue Jays decide to carry Luciano, he's going to be the first player from the born in the year 2000 or later to debut in the major leagues. So we're at that time now. time to feel really old. But Luciano's a teenage arm, 3 above average pitches, low 90s fastball, real thin kind of frame. But again, he's just turning 19 here in February. So, you know, you got in a month or so. So he's got plenty of time to add some weight. Curveball's got good spin. Changeup's got some depth. He's kind of got the long kind of fingers and stuff where you hope he might develop a slider. And I think that's kind of where he's going to go. I think the Blue Jays being non-competitive this year are going to try to roster him all season because of the upside. And I think he's a mid-rotation arm. I just hope that this Rule 5 stint and this almost lost year development doesn't come back to hurt him, because it's kind of all that always works out. Chad Spanberger was the guy they got from Colorado for Sungwon Oh. 70 raw power, first baseman. He's an aggressive guy. Not really going to hit for much average, but he might have enough bat to get to Toronto based off the power alone. Forrest Wall, former second baseman with Colorado, came over in the same trade. Good athlete, plus runner, outfield only guy, fourth outfielder.
You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. All preseason long, we'll be bringing you the most in-depth analysis to get you ready for your drafts. There will be 30 team previews with 30 prospect previews during the month of January. That's 60 podcasts in 30 days. Then, we will be dropping almost daily pods until the start of the season. You can also get your 2019 draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com. Or if you prefer, you can get it via email in PDF form. It has over 250 pages of analysis, player profiles, ranks, strategy guides, and prospect information for cheaper than the magazine you get in the store. Plus, we'll be updating both PDF and ebook all the way until draft season is over for any changes that happen in the landscape of fantasy baseball. Stay tuned all preseason long to Friends of Fantasy Benefits so you can be ahead of the curve.
Logan Warmoth, first round pick out of North Carolina, has not been great. Defensively, he's probably not a shortstop, and the offensive numbers have been putrid. I'm still here for the pedigree. I still think he could be a second baseman for a second division club, and I think that's where he's going to fit. Chavez Young is an intriguing 39th round draft pick, not because of his ability, but because he had an ironclad commitment to a school, and the Blue Jays took him a 39th round, and what do you know? They got him to sign. Good switch hitter. 285, 363, 445, 8 homers and 44 stolen bases in the Midwest League this year. So obviously you see where his game is made on. He's an athlete with a strong throwing arm in the outfield and good speed. Miguel Giraldo, 2017 J2 period was their big signing. Shortstop, definitely going to have to play third. He's going to have above average power and probably an average hit tool. So it's a productive offensive skill set, but it's going to be a while away. Adam Klopfenstein is a big-bodied prep pitcher that they drafted this year in the second round. And Ryan Noda is a first baseman outfield corner bat. Strikes out a little bit too much, but he's got a good hit tool and some good pop. So I think that sums up the Blue Jays system a lot. There's a lot to love here. Obviously, Vlad, Danny Jansen, Biggio, Telez, Alford, McKinney, Reed Foley. You'll see them this year. Guys like Biggio, Pearson will be probably in the year after, and then you got a whole wave of talent after that. So it's enough talent to compete in the American League East. It's a tough place to be though, but the Yankees and Red Sox are always going to be good. Toronto, or Tampa Bay's farm system is probably the best in the game. And they won 90-something games last year. So, you know, they're not going away either. So the Blue Jays are in a tough spot, but there could be worse spots. They do have Vlad, so.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTomFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. You can read all my stuff over at Fangraphs, Fantasy Alarm, and, of course, Friends of Fantasy Benefits. What are you working on, Matt?
We are doing our system scrums over here for Prospects Live. We're finishing up our write-ups. Only have the Brewers are coming up on Thursday. They're done and posted. They're just sitting in the hopper there. And we have the Tigers, who are up today, being Tuesday. And then the Dodgers, Padres, and Mariners are the only three remaining clubs done. Not done yet. So those are three interesting systems. And after that, we're going to start our list season. And list season's a fun season. So we're going to do something a little different over there, too, at Prospects Live. We have our standard top 100 reality list for, you know, factoring in defense and everything like that. We have our top fantasy list, which I believe we're going to 400 this year. It's a collaboration between two brilliant minds in Ralph and Eddie and myself, which is not as brilliant as them two. But
I was going to say, you said two brilliant minds and three people.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I'm the third wheel in that group. But all jokes aside, though, Eddie and Ralph are two brilliant fantasy minds, and anytime you can get a chance to work with them, you take it. So, and we'll have them and my ranks combined on that. We'll have a feature too, where if you don't like one of our ranks, you can eliminate it, and you can still see where they average out. So it's a fun thing. We got Smata on board with our miners graphs and a lot of other visual presentation things that he's going to provide for us. It's going to be outstanding stuff. We got the in-season game. Season's going to start up pretty soon. We got JP heading out to Arizona as we speak. He's on a plane right now, actually, today being the 8th. San Francisco Giants and Chicago Cubs Instruct start up this week. So we're going to have some fresh video from that. So that's something to look forward to. I should have said that during the Giants pod, but I forgot about it. We're going to have lists at Prospects Live catered to a lot of specialty leagues, top 100 OBP. We're going to have a top 100 points league format. We're going to have, you know, top 100 hitters, top 100 pitchers. We're going to do top 50 for 2019 only. It's going to be fun stuff over there. And obviously everything we're doing at FWFB with our draft guide, the prospect pieces. We got some really fun draft strategy articles. The guide is visually appealing. The cover looks great this year, too. I'm very excited for it. It's cheap. And it's definitely, if you're going to buy one draft guide all year, wouldn't you buy the one with 300-something pages?
Yeah.
That's updated all year? I mean, I know, yeah. I would.
And that's the thing, like, that it's updated, and it would be continuously updated throughout draft season. And so while, like, the magazine you buy at the store, maybe some of the other draft guides out there will kind of be out of date, may already be out of date if they've already come out, you know, and then by the time we get a month from now, we're going to be continuously out of date. Our ranks are going to continuously be updated. Our team previews will be continuously updated throughout the entire season to kind of reflect what's happened. So,
right. Like for example, the most recent transaction is what? Kelvin Herrera going to the White Sox? He's probably the closer. A lot of other magazines you have in the offseason are going to have Alex Colome or Nate Jones because they're not aware. So why not get the freshest takes? Why not get the freshest looks? You know Justin's work. It speaks for itself. I think my quality of fantasy work is great. A lot of our guys over at FWFB are outstanding, and we're proud to have them. And it's why not buy for a real cheap price, get the almost updated version, and be a step ahead of your leagues. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. That's going to wrap us up. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.